In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, reviewing today the stories of grace that we've been talking about during this week. Yesterday, you heard the amazing testimony of Maria D'Urso of Brooklyn, New York, a woman who had been in all kinds of sin and on drugs and whom grace saved. And for those of you who feel that you need encouragement, maybe there's someone listening to me right now who feels that he or she is absolutely beyond hope. You've made such a mess of your life, it's no use trying to do anything differently. God has forsaken you. He won't hear your prayers. The age of miracles is long since over. Or if not over, you feel that you would never qualify. Well, these stories, I would hope you've been listening to. A motherless child, a harried father, a cruel upbringing, drugs, sex, despair. But God, but grace came in, that amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, wrote John Newton. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11, Paul is writing to a church, a group of church members. This is what he says. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, hang on and don't turn the dial somewhere else. I want to give you this wonderful verse that follows. And that is what some of you were, talking to church members, murderers, adulterers, homosexual offenders, male prostitutes, etc. But, says Paul, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There is always hope for the one who will turn to God in repentance and ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character hope. And God does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Actually, I read you five verses there. I said I was going to read two. And I would like to pause right now and pray for those of you who are in any trouble and feel perhaps that God has forsaken you. Father, you know each listener out there. You know where they are, who they are, and exactly what they need. I commend them to you, Lord, into your loving care. I commend them to your grace. I pray that in the way that only you can do through your Holy Spirit, that you will speak comfort and peace to their hearts, that you will call them to yourself, that they may turn in repentance and prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week you have heard some terrible accounts of terrible sin and destruction. Destruction wrought as the result of sin. Most of you, probably, who are listening to me today, have not had as many dramatic turnarounds as some of these people, Anita, Marie, Sister Pearl, and the anonymous letter that I read to you. The things that they have experienced and seen, maybe many of you can identify with, but many of you will identify at least with the problem that I want to talk about today. Some of you have conquered it by the grace of God. Some of you would give anything, you say, to conquer it, but you've pretty well decided it's not a spiritual matter anyway, and doesn't matter as much as people seem to think. And furthermore, what has grace got to do with it? Can you guess what the subject is? Overeating. Well, it wasn't my idea to talk about this. I've had a number of letters about it, and I've actually had requests from people asking me to talk about it on the radio, because there are a lot of people that need help with overeating. And I'm going to read you some letters from some of those people who've been where you are, and they understand. It was so good to see you at such and such a conference, says this lady. As you spoke, the Lord placed his hand on me to deal with a few areas where I continue to rebel against his teaching. The first area was submission as a wife to my husband, and the second area was overeating for emotional needs. When I went home, I encountered a fierce spiritual battle with the enemy. My response was not pleasing to God, as it created conflict with my husband. The Holy Spirit has instructed me through the Bible and prayer and shown me ways to implement these changes on a daily basis. Strange, it just occurred to me that I might find that by obeying my husband, that my emotional needs may be met, so that I do not need to go to food, gaining through losing. Please pray for me as I seek to overcome old habit patterns and seek to be transformed to his image. And she quotes Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Thank you for your firm stand on moral purity, femininity, and against abortion. May God strengthen and encourage you as you serve him faithfully. Thank you so much, Bonnie, for that letter. And here's another one. This lady says, I have a besetting sin that has plagued me for years. How do I stop my compulsive eating? I would appreciate your help and would welcome any answer you might give. And in my reply to that lady, I suggested that she study Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you in honesty want to present your body a living sacrifice, don't you need to think about what you are doing to that body? Are you taking proper care of it? Is it pleasing to the Lord when you eat too much? You know the answer to those questions. You want all to be for Jesus. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransomed powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. That's a little old gospel song. Now, is it possible that you can eat for the glory of God? Yes, Paul said, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do everything for the glory of God. If even eating or drinking can be for the glory of God, then certainly everything else that we do can be for the glory of God too. But some of us don't eat and drink for the glory of God. We're eating and drinking entirely according to our own whims. And what is the result? Well, you know when you get on the scales. You know when you look in the mirror. And I don't really think that anybody wants to be overweight. I just can't believe it. I know I don't want to be, and I can't believe that any of you who are really struggling with this question are happy with yourselves. You wouldn't be struggling if you were happy about it. I don't have a gimmick for you. I don't have a psychological answer. I don't know whether that lady was correct in thinking that if she started submitting to her husband, she might have less emotional stress. I think that sounds very possible. But I'm not here to give you a psychological answer, but to help you to see that this stronghold, which is your physical appetite, must be demolished. And you can bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. You can keep yourself from getting up out of the chair and walking across to the refrigerator and opening the door. Those are acts of the will. Just quit. And the very simple little method that I have given to many people who have asked me for keeping my own weight down is weighing myself every day. Now, I know that people who are on strict diets are told, don't weigh yourself every day. That would be too discouraging. So if you've already started on a program of dieting, I'm not talking to you. But I'm talking to the people who perhaps are thinking they may start gaining weight. Then the safest thing to do is to weigh yourself every day so that you can see if you're gaining. If you go up a half a pound in a day, it's time to do something about it. So for me, it's a matter of obedience to God. It's a matter of bringing my thoughts about food into captivity to Christ. Here's another letter. Please pray that I will be able to put into practice on a consistent basis, especially the ideas about the cross and sacrifice, which is quite foreign to the way I was raised. I know it takes time to change things sometimes, but I'm having a special difficulty with overeating and being consistent in daily prayer. And one more. A prayer request that was sent to the folks at Gateway to Joy. I'm currently having difficulty with an illness diagnosed as manic depressive, and I am discouraged with my obesity. Now, here's an honest lady. She says it is 10% medication, caused by 10% medication, but 90% by disobedience. I'm also greatly in debt, 30% due to the type of spending mania. So many of you are struggling with overeating. You know, the Lord wants to help you with that, and I know that He will. And if you see it as a spiritual battle, you must take it to the Lord in prayer. You must bring your will into alignment with His. And a simple method of taking off weight in a gradual and safe way is just cut the portions that you normally eat in half. Try that, and God bless you.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.